Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Schaltbau Fiscal Year 2018 Financial Analyst Conference. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone keypad for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Wolfgang Güsken, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. This is Wolfgang Güsken, and as the Investor Relations Representative of Schaltbau, I'm happy to welcome you to our full year 2018 results conference call this afternoon. Today, we will have all three members of our management team directing their comments to you, our CEO Albrecht Köhler, our Chief Officer for Mobile and Stationary Transportation Technology, Volker Kregelin, and our CFO, Thomas Dippold. In the Q&A session following the presentation part of the event, all three of them will be available as well. For those of you who have not already downloaded from our website the full year 2018 presentation document, which will support this call, please go to schaltbaugroup.com and access the file in the presentation section of the Investor Relations and Media landing page. If this is not an option to you at the moment, you should still be able to follow the call even without the presentation document at hand. Jumping right into the document, on slide 2, we comment that today's presentation contains forward-looking statements regarding future developments based on information currently available. As a result of risk and uncertainties, actual outcomes could differ from the forward-looking statements made. Schaltbau does not intend to update these forward-looking statements. Numbers provided in the presentation may not add up due to rounding. And finally, please take note that this call will be recorded and that a replay of the call will be made available on our website. With this, I hand it over to our CEO, Dr. Albrecht Köhler, who will start with an update on our management team on slide 4. Albrecht, go ahead, please.
Thank you for the introduction, Wolfgang. Also from my side, welcome everybody to our full year 2018 investor call. My name is Albrecht Köhler, CEO of Schaltbau. Let me start today with a quick glance on our management team, slide 4. As announced on Friday last week, given the good progress we have made in recent quarters, our Chief Restructuring Officer, Dr. Martin Kleinschmidt, resigned as of the end of March, and there will be no CRO role anymore. Still, Martin will continue to contribute as a consultant for the time being, providing support for merger and acquisition projects and the upcoming refinancing of Schaltbau. With this, Schaltbau Executive Board is made of a team of three. Beyond our CFO, Thomas Dippold, and myself, Volker Kregelin is part of the team, who was newly appointed to Chief Officer for Mobile and Stationary Transportation Technology at the beginning of December. As today, we host the first call for the financial community since he came on board. I will now hand over to Volker, who will provide some information on his background and the value he brings to Schaltbau.
Welcome. Good afternoon, Volker Kregelin speaking. Many thanks for the opportunity to comment on my profile and what I will be my contribution to Schaltbau. I spent almost 30 years in the railway and logistic industry. The railway industry we can distinguish in two sections, in the infrastructure, which is the stationary transport technology, and the vehicles and trains, which is represented by the mobile transportation technology. I gained experience in both sectors at Bombardier, Siemens, in project, sales, and general management. Therefore, my contribution for Schaltbau will be the network of key customers as Deutsche Bahn, Stadler, Bombardier, Siemens, by building a sustainable customer relationship, by strengthening the project management, having a high focus on risk and opportunity management, contracts, and delivery performance. Besides the sales and project management, I gained also experience in production. though have done several projects of restructuring, reorganization, ramp-up production lines. So, which is a very benefit in my role at Schaltbau as well. This is why I hand over now to Thomas Diepold, our CFO, who will lead you through the full year 2018 figures. Go ahead, Thomas, please.
Thank you, Volker. My name is Thomas Diepold, and I will guide you through the financial figures of 2018. Before I start to present the business development of our group, let me quickly comment on the major achievements last year. On slide 6, the previous slide 5 shows only the main KPIs for your information. You see our restructuring efforts from three perspectives: financial, balance sheet, and operative. The sale of Bubenza was €26 million, effective 1st of March 2018, and the successful capital increase with €46 million cash proceeds in February 2018 played a tremendous role in our financial consolidation. With that, we could pay back the bridge financing from the banks in time and were able to strengthen our liquidity. Balance sheet-wise, we eliminated risk for future impairments by writing off goodwill and assets at Alte in Bode, UK, as well as capitalized expenses at Finch. In addition, we found a new agreement with Bombardier in handling the PSD project, limiting our risk exposure, so we could release the existing provision. Operative restructuring is ongoing. Pinch agreed to a restructuring agreement with the Workers' Council and the Union beginning of 2018, saving €2 million in 2018 and 2019 each on personnel costs. In 2019, we merged two Pinch sites into one and consolidate three legal entities to reduce complexity and generate savings. At Bode and Ravag, we initiated a program called Fit for Future. At Alte, a program called A Tiempo, both operational excellence projects in order to improve the performance of our supply chain and production. Slide 7 shows the progress Schaltbau made in 2018 on its way towards new and sustainable strength. On a group level, the company generated total sales of €518 million. Excluding Pinch Bubenza and Cepsa, which was classified as asset held for sale, Schaltbau Group generated sales of roughly €478 million, which means an organic growth of 12% and an EBIT before extraordinary items margin of 3.3% of sales. This development is a cornerstone on our way back to historic EBIT margins, which we intend to achieve permanently through further sales growth and cost reduction measures in the future. For the first time since years, we fulfilled our guidance given at the beginning of the year and delivered what we had promised. On slide 8, you see our external order intake reported and like for like. Just as a reminder, what are the differences between reported and like for like figures? One deviation results from the sale of Pinch Bubenza effective 1st of March 2018. So we do have orders, sales, and EBIT figures only for 2 months in our 2018 books compared to the full year 2017 contributions. The other difference relates to the status of Cepsa. In Q4 17, we decided to sell Cepsa. Therefore, it since has been treated as an asset held for sale under IFRS 5. As a consequence, in our income statement, we only show Cepsa sales. Cepsa's operational contribution does not affect group EBIT anymore, but goes straight to equity. Coming back to the external order intake. The external order intake of the Schaltbau Group increased by €37.3 million, or 6.3% compared to last year, and reached the highest level ever with €631.3 million. Excluding Cepsa and Pinch Bubenza, the like-for-like order intake was €553.9 million, an increase of €42.8 million, or 8.4%. Mobile transportation technology was a main driver for that year-on-year increase in order intake. Here, the Bode Group was able to win several large volume orders in door businesses. In addition, CEPSA received a major order for supply of information systems in North America, resulting in a significant sales volume for the years 2020 to 2022. The other segments also developed positively and exceeded last year's figures. At the end of 2018, the order book amounted 583.2 million euro compared to 508.3 million end of 2017. This represents a further significant increase despite the sale of Pinch Buchbinder. Coming to slide number 9. In 2018, group sales were slightly up to 518.3 million euro compared to 516.6 million in 2017. On a like-for-like basis, sales reached 477.7 million euro and were in the range of the lower end of the guidance announced beginning of the year. Organic growth, excluding CEPSA and Pinch Buchbinder, was 12.1% higher, far higher than the market growth. Organic sales growth in 2018 was primarily driven by a sharp volume increase in mobile transportation technology. The main driver was Bode Group again, able to significantly increase volume compared to last year, especially in the rail vehicles business. Components reached a sales increase of 14.5 million euro. Schallbau GmbH contributed the most, where businesses with contactors and snap action switches developed positively. In stationary transportation technology, sales decreased by 14% to 60.9 million euro, adjusted for the sale of Pinch Buchbinder. We faced weak order intakes in our domestic market last year, and we were cautious in acquiring international projects based on the experience made in the past. In addition, various project pushouts and the rearrangement of the PSD project in Sao Paulo played a major role in the decline. Slide 10 shows the development of our bottom line and the transition from reported EBIT to EBIT before extraordinary items. With minus 7.3 million euro, the Schallbau Group's EBIT was 15.7 million higher than last year, with minus 23 million euro. EBIT before extraordinary items reached 16 million euro, which means an EBIT margin of 3.3%. In 2018, we see 5 negative and 1 positive extraordinary effects in the transition from reported to adjusted EBIT. The impairment of goodwill and other assets of Alte and Bode UK with roughly 14 million represents the largest effect. Also, the subsequent impairment according to IFRS 5 for the purchase of the real estate in CEPSA affects our reported EBIT with 3.8 million euro, as well as the deconsolidation effects in relation with the sale of Buchbinder. In 2018, expenses for the ongoing restructuring totaled 5.2 million euro and impacted our EBIT. On the other hand, the net release of provisions for onerous contracts had a positive effect with 3.2 million euro on the EBIT in 2018. Last but not least, the impairment of capitalized expenses at Pinch with 3 million euro negatively impacted our reported EBIT. On slide 11, you can see the previously explained EBIT reported and the EBIT before extraordinary items on a comparable basis. Despite all the extraordinary one-off effects, we saw continuous improvements in our businesses. Components expanded their business, maintaining their high margins. Pinch improved the cost position with the restructuring agreement and is benefiting from synergies because of the merger of the entities. Bode Group managed to grow profitably. The potentials for future margin increases are identified. On the next slide, 12, you can see the development of our cash flow. We achieved a positive free cash flow of roughly 22 million euro in 2018, compared to -23.8 million in 2017. While the operating cash flow was negative with 6.2 million euro, cash flow from investing activities was positive with 28.1. Comparing the operative cash flow with prior year, we cannot be satisfied. Despite a significant improvement in EBIT, working capital in 2018 has developed negatively, mainly due to an increase in inventories. Together with the release of the PSD provision, we achieved a disappointing negative operating free cash flow. The positive change in cash flow from investing activities mainly relates to the release of funds from an escrow account to the proceeds from the sale of Pinch-Bubenzer. Negative changes in cash flow from financing activities mainly result from loan repayments and the cash inflow from the capital increase successfully placed in February 2018. Coming to the analysis of the segments, how did the segments develop in 2018 on a standalone basis? On slide 13, you see the development of mobile transportation technology. External order intake in mobile transportation technology increased to 394 million euro, including SEPSA, compared to 333 million euro last year. The Bode Group contributed the most, winning a number of major orders for door systems in rail vehicles. After already a successful 2017, sales increased further from 265 million euro to 304 in 2018. The Bode Group again contributed the most. The segment's EBIT was at -22.8 million euro compared to -26.4 in 2017 and was significantly influenced by the impairments of the assets of Alte and Bode UK, totaling 14 million euro. It also includes the operative loss from Alte with -6.7 million euro. On slide 14, you see the performance of stationary transportation technology. We managed to stabilize the situation within the Pinch Group and introduced first improvements into the right direction. External order intake in stationary transportation technology reached 77.1 million euro, well above last year's figure of 60.4 million euro for comparable business, despite the ongoing weak development of the overall market. The order intake 2018 includes a domestic train formation system project with a volume of almost 9 million euro and the supply of further level crossing solutions in Denmark with 5.2 million euro. Total segment sales decreased by 42.7% to 69.1 million euro. Excluding Pinch-Bubenzer, revenues declined by 9.9 million euro, or 14%. The main reason for this were several project pushouts. In addition, the point heating business recorded a decline in sales, mainly due to lower volumes with a major customer. Pinch Group shows a reported EBIT of 2.6 million euro compared to -5.5 million last year, despite lower sales. Without extraordinary items, the segment achieved an EBIT of -0.7 million euros. At components on slide 15, the external order intake continued to grow further. Incoming orders increased by 2.9% to 150.5 million euros. This was mainly due to higher order volumes for connectors in Germany, as well as growth in contactors for applications in energy storing systems and for snap action switches for rail vehicles. Segment sales rose by 11.1% year on year to 145.2 million euro compared to 130.7 in 2017. The increase was achieved across all product groups. EBIT of components increased to 17.5% to 25.1 million euro compared to 21.4 last year. The increase in EBIT is primarily due to the higher sales volume, especially in high-margin product groups like snap action switches and contactors. At the same time, further improvements in productivity were achieved. The EBIT margin increased from already a marvelous 16.4 to 17.2% in 2018. Ladies and gentlemen, on slide 16, you see an overview of our current equity and net debt situation. With a successful capital increase in February, Schaltbau was able to improve and stabilize its capital base significantly. Currently, Schaltbau's equity totals 93.8 million euro and the equity ratio improved to 23.7%. With the money raised in the capital increase, thanks to the support of our shareholders, and with the sale of Pinschbubenzer, we were able to return the bridge financing and repay parts of the overall debt. At the end of 2018, net debt amounted 100.4 million euro, 36.6% lower than last year. I'm coming to the last chapter of my presentation, the guidance on slide number 17. In 2019, we will continue to grow organically in the entire Schaltbau Group and expect revenues in the range of 480 to 500 million euro. Compared to sales in 2018, the revenues of SEPSA, ALTE and Pinschbubenzer are not included in the sales guidance. This is another strong organic and profitable growth of our top line with roughly 8% growth rate on a like-for-like basis. On slide 18, you can see the overall guidance for fiscal year 2019. We expect external order intake on a conservative basis in the range of 480 to 500 million euro with a corresponding sales level as described on the last slide. All segments increased sales in 2019. Bode Group benefits from a high order book and the continuous demand for intelligent and innovative door systems. Components sees an ongoing demand for the products in existing markets. However, there are new businesses for the products available, such as wind and solar power systems, as well as electrically powered buses and cars, which are becoming increasingly important. Pinch Group consolidates on the level reached and develops moderately in absolute terms without additional risk exposure. For 2019, we expect to improve our EBIT margin before extraordinary items to a range of 5 to 6% of sales. This increase is due to various reasons. We have profitable growth in both existing and new markets with good margins safeguarded by our tender review tools. Projects are thoroughly planned and margin requirements were clearly defined. We have reduced risks through consequent and compulsory legal reviews of project bids. This should reduce the risk of negative deviation and onerous projects in the future. With the disposal of ALTE, we have no longer the negative contribution of that entity. And finally, our manufacturing excellence project at Bode Group aims for higher efficiencies in production and general cost savings. In 2019, we expect a margin increase in Bode Group and no more one-offs. Also at Pinch Group, we expect operative savings from the merger of the sites and an increase in profitability. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attention during this final section of the conference. I hand over to Albrecht again.
Thanks, Thomas, for this comprehensive financial overview. Ladies and gentlemen, let's have a look on the aspectic development of our key units on slide 19 in 2019 from the especially market perspective. First of all, the Schaltbau components business, which stays for Connect Contact Control. After solid growth in 2018 with strong margins, we will see this unit continue to develop this way in 2019 driven by significant demand, especially on the contactor side, where the DC energy applications will play an increased role going forward. The components business will continue to earn most of the money for the Schaltbau Group this year still. Secondly, the Bode Group. They make nearly half of the group's revenue, and as such, they are the biggest lever for profitability gains, given the major productivity increases we will see from the Fit for Future programs we already started to implement in 2018. These programs cover both the optimization of factory internal processes as well as a better use of resources between the various production sites, especially in Germany, Poland, and Turkey. Also, we will see revenue growth at Bode in 2019, mainly driven by rail. And finally, Pinch, the stationary transportation technology expert in our portfolio. After significant customer delays, we foresee significant incremental businesses in 2019, driven by the ramping infrastructure investments towards public and emission-free transport, and also Deutsche Bahn mandate to put an amount as high as never before into renovation and upgrading their infrastructure. Pinch will remain profitable also at a low level for now. Finally, I would like to comment on the two key drivers for profitability growth in the next couple of years: the digitization of the doors and the renaissance of the DC power technology. On slide 20, we give you an indication of the strong growth perspectives in the door systems market. Going forward, smart functionality such as passenger counting, ticketing, and obstacle detection will become more and more relevant, in a particular as new applications such as the trend toward electromobility and autonomously driven small group taxis, so-called people mover, gain traction. For the rolling stock door market alone, several studies indicate that there will be growth of 10 to 15% per year for many years out. And Bode, as the first player in Europe and the second worldwide, is set to make this development their profit. Last but not least, on slide 21, we have put together the applications which we drive the global market for DC contactors relevant for Schaltbau in the next couple of years. As you can see, these applications are manifold, from forklifts with batteries which need contactor technology for safety reasons, up to electric passenger cars, which, given the governmental support and technology advances soon, should be seen on streets much more often. This market is around €300 million at current and should be at soon €1.3 billion in 2025, applying an average annual growth rate of more than 20%. Schaltbau currently holds about 10% of this market, and given our fast experience with high-performance contactors, we are expecting not only to participate in this market growth, but also to gain significant share. These two trends will fuel sustainable growth for Schaltbau in the next couple of years and significantly contribute to bringing us back to historical margins until 2021. So, please.
Okay.
Wolfgang.
Thank you. Many thanks to our management team for the color provided on the development of Schaltbau in 2018 and where we are heading. And before opening the floor to questions, let me hint you on our investor calendar on the final slide number 22. We will be back already in 4 weeks from today on the 30th of April with the Q1 numbers. And in the meantime, we'll be available for personal and telephone discussions with you guys as we go to the second quarter of 2019. With this, I hand it back to Arkadin to manage the Q&A process.
Thank you. Dear ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question we received is from Alexander Hauenstein from DZ Bank. Your line is now open, sir.
Yes, hello, everyone. It's Alex Hauenstein from DZ Bank. Thanks for taking my questions. I've got four, actually, so I would like to put them up one by one. So first of all, I was wondering whether you could give us an update about the refinancing efforts in 2019 and some idea about the structure of the instruments, please.
Okay, sorry, I didn't understand your strategy. I thought you first placed all the four questions.
I decided to raise the first one and then put it on later, maybe.
Just also make sure that we don't forget any of those. Just kidding. Of course, you know that we answer all your questions.
Sure.
First of all, regarding the refinancing, I think the most important thing that we achieved so far is that we could achieve an unqualified audit opinion, which you can see in our annual report that we just published. So that means despite the fact that we don't have a working capital statement and we don't have a financing beyond 12 months from today or from last Friday, our auditors were convinced, same as the executive board of Schaltbau, that it's very likely that we manage our refinancing process as described also in our annual report. And of course, the main instrument or the main brick in the whole refinancing will be another syn loan, and we are in discussions with various banks to do that. As for now, we don't use any instrument like an asset-backed commercial paper. We don't have anything like that or asset-backed security. This is also a valid option that we are thinking about. But I think these discussions will be more intense from today onwards as we published our annual report and all the existing but also maybe new financing partners are waiting desperately for some audited figures for 2018. And from today onwards, I think the refinancing process will gain significant speed.
Okay, thanks a lot. Concerning your midterm targets, I understand from the call that you said you want to go back to historical margins by 2021. So is it still right to understand that you want to achieve about 7% margin in 2020 and about 9% in 2021? And if so, apart from what you've told us before, maybe any further hint to the major necessary milestones to get there and where are potential risks in order to achieve that already by 2020 with the 7% maybe?
Sarjan, let me answer this question. So you saw before that we, I would say, announced for 19, we say range 5 to 6. And if you take, I would say, a line from 19 to 21, so you can calculate the profits by yourself. Yeah, this is, it's like you say. Yeah, it's maybe in 2020, then 7, and then in 21, 9. Yeah. However.
Okay, and what would be any potential major risk here on that way? I mean, which major blocks you're targeting at, which we maybe have not touched on the discussion before?
The major risk is always the market by itself. Yeah. So I don't see internal big risks which we have. I think we have a clear guideline how we want to reach this, and all the things are planned, also with some, I would say, buffers. And however, so but the market is, it's not foreseen. But I have to say we are in a very stable market. You see, we have 70% of railway, so railway is more or less never touched by this, I would say, downturn of the whole world market, which is now a big discussion in the markets. We don't see it, and I saw it also not in the past when it happened. So, and we are in new growing market of the, I would say, mobility and new energy. So I see a lot of positive things also in the market. But if you ask me, what are the risks? Yeah, only in the market.
Okay, understood. Thank you for that. Coming back to the restructuring, is it fair to assume that you have, let's say, finished about 80% right now of the restructuring process now that your CRO has left the company? So I understand there's still some materializing of former measures to come in 2019, but the major blocks are done. Is that fair to say, or anything that you inherited, let's say, from your CRO?
I think your estimation with 80% is good, a good estimation, yeah.
Okay, thank you. And last question, I understand you're looking potentially for a partner in China with regard to mobile transportation technologies. Any color on that and maybe also on a potential timeline here? Thank you.
There is not, I would say, looking for a partner in China. We have a lot of partners in China where we are working very well. Yeah? So the only issue is if you are looking on our mobile transportation segment, we are, I would say, very strong in Europe and U.S., and if you are looking on China's market, so there could be more, and that's, I would say, that's an opportunity for the future. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Great. That was it from my side.
Thank you.
The next question we received is from Sascha Seiber from KNR. Your line is now open, sir.
Hello, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my questions. I also go by one by one then. The first point I would like to understand a bit.
Sorry for interrupt you, Mr. Seiber. Could you please use the headset?
Better now?
Yes, that's great.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Sorry. I would like to understand your guidance in a bit more granular fashion, if I may. So, assuming that the components business would do more EBIT than this year, I would come out at stationary maybe being a break even to slightly down, and mobile being also slightly, let's say, above break even. But maybe you want to mention a bit what you expect to come out of the three segments to fulfill your guidance of a 5-6% EBIT margin, I may say.
Well, actually, it's not that difficult, especially if you take out Alte and the negative contribution on that. I think I also already pointed out that 6.7 million. This entity contributed in 2018. This is tremendous loss that we see there, and hardly anything really worked well there in 2018. We see an overall increase in our units contributing to that. The components business, not that much as you probably expect if you take the sales growth. Why is that? Because we need to have investments in order to tackle all the new markets that also Albrecht described in his strategy part of the section. This is why we need to kind of pre-finance and invest a little bit into, entering those businesses. And this is an investment, not as a CapEx, but headcount-wise, that we took decently into consideration, and we approved that because we think it's really the right way, having the right people for the right markets in order to address our solutions that we could offer to the various customers in the relevant markets. All other segments grow with tiny margin increases, but this is how the guidance puts itself together.
Okay. Then follow up to this, because I recognize that the components business in Q4 was, I think, doing an 8-point-something% EBIT margin, whereas it was on 20% level in the first 9 months. So obviously, stark contrast. Is that already the headcount increase, or is that other factors that play a role here in the Q4 performance?
I think it's both. On the one hand side, the volume decreased in Q4. This is also what we need to take into consideration, especially in Schalbau GmbH. But I think all in all, we're talking about a business making 16 and next year 17% EBIT margin. We should be too harsh with those guys. And there were one or two provisions, and they also, by the way, had some severance payments because they're also cleaning up their personnel and keeping it tidy. To us, it was reasonable, and we could live with that. And in fact, they kept their internal guidance, and we could keep our group guidance for 2018. So we were fine with that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Then on the working capital, first quarter where sequential improvement was noted, I think, from 32% of revenues to 27% in Q4. So actually quite significant. Maybe you want to outline a bit, what you expect here in terms of a progress in 2019.
Yeah, I can, or at least try. I think this is an ongoing topic, and I'm glad that we also have Volker here in the management team to support us here with his experience. The thing is the following. Given the status where we are as a listed company, when we talk to customers and also suppliers on both sides, and we try to renegotiate our contracts on purchasing but also for sales, they see how our financial status is because, I mean, we are a publicly listed company. And if you want to shorten or expand, it depends on which side we're talking to our partners. The payment terms, they are very reluctant when they see it because they think we are in trouble. So with each cornerstone or with each brick in the wall that we build up on our way back to a healthy finance or a healthy balance sheet, I think the easier it goes also that we gain confidence with our partners that we could make negotiations for the better here. This is one thing. The other thing, and this is what hurts us the most, because we had some improvements in receivables and payables already. Maybe not enough, this is for sure, but the reason I just explained. But the second topic is definitely inventory. For sure, it's inventory. And this is what we need to tackle. We had a board, executive board meeting yesterday, and this was the major topic that we talked about. And we will start projects in each and every entity in order to address this and to move on with that. The thing is only that especially at Bodem, the biggest ship we have in our harbor is by far the biggest entity, and there, of course, the volume is probably the largest that you could achieve if you address this topic there in the right manner. The thing is only that we have to struggle that hard in order to ship our products and to deliver them to our customers in time and in full, that all the efforts we need to do that are that enormous, they hardly have the time or the people to care about this. So this shouldn't be an excuse, but we clearly addressed that the stabilization of our supply chain and our production needs to come first before we and the supply to our customers is absolute priority number one before we work on working capital terms.
Mm-hmm. But you to maybe conclude on that, you see further improvement, let's say, when I talk about working capital as a percentage of sales, 27% in 2018, there's room to improve that.
Yeah, Volker speaking. I see that I'm quite familiar with all these working capital reduction programs from my former companies, mm-hmm. since they have a lot of assets in the train business. So we work on this, but what Thomas said already is first we have to get the supply chain in the right way. Secondly, we have to renegotiate the contracts with our main customers, since also they have some troubles inside and which they load on our shoulders. So we will continue this way step by step, but it will not happen in the next 3 or 6 months. It will be a long-term trip and... But we are on the right way now.
Okay. Good. Maybe last one from my side on the disposals in Spain, or let's say the way going forward. Any update on that? What are your thoughts on the two entities at this point in time?
Yeah, we took both companies for sale, CEPSA, since 1 year.
Yeah.
So we have some interested partners, and we are in a final stage. So we will solve these issues in the next, I would say, weeks and months.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question we received is from Winfried Becker from Pareto Securities. Your line is now open, sir.
Yes, thank you very much. Winfried Becker, Pareto. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Two questions at this point in time. The first one, more a general one, concerning the strategy and the focus on the rail business. When I read your introductional statement in the annual report, Dr. Köhler, you mentioned at the end that, in particular for the component segment, there are a lot of opportunities, I would say, outside rail, commenting on wind power or solar and other things in automotive. And that leads me to the question, looking forward into the next years, is it fair to say that rail will become a little bit less important? Is it a real strategic move to reduce dependency from rail, or is it more temporary because of the structure of orders you have received simply? That would be great if you could comment on that. That's the first question. And the second one is a bit more detailed about the collective restructuring agreement at Pinch. If I got it right, that contract will terminate at the end of fiscal year 19, so this year. And my question is, what will happen afterwards with regard to wages and salaries? Could you keep that lower level, or could we assume that wages and salary at this entity will go up again simply because the contract terminates? If you could clarify that also would be very helpful. Thank you very much.
Okay, Mr. Becker, I want to answer your first question. The relation between rail and I would say industrial and automotive business, which comes more or less especially to the new energy issue and I would say DC trend, which we see on the market. No, we don't see a big, I would say, change in the relation. Why? This segment is growing, but on the other hand, as I mentioned also in my statement, rail side is also growing. So and maybe I'm 1-5%, but this is not, I would say, that we will say we come to a 50-50 company. No, we see a big, big growth on both markets.
Okay.
So maybe I will. Concerning Finch, we are not looking only to the single wages. We are looking to the whole cost situation actually at Finch. And we will see some synergies and cost savings by moving from two sites in one site. Also, we have implemented a better tracking of development projects. So we will increase the efficiency. We will come quicker to the market. And we will also get, with a new setup of tools and system, a higher productivity in the application engineering. So these are more the levers, how we can get the cost situation in a better way.
But to answer your question precisely, once the restructuring agreement expired end of 19, we need to go back to the previous level of our salaries. This is what the agreement says. On the other hand, we are also entitled to have kind of corporate layoffs. That means betriebsbedingte Kündigung. This would work then again. But we need to see how many employees we have and what kind of synergies we already have by then, once we merged the two sites into one, as Volker just pointed out.
Would you comment how much people you have reduced the workforce there?
At the moment, we haven't reduced, at least from our side, none, because this is not allowed according to the restructuring agreement that we had. This is why all the employees suffer some salary cuts for the 2 years. And we need to see, you know, when you merge two sites, and Sprockhövel is 70 kilometers away from Dienstlagen, and especially if you live on the other side of Sprockhövel, and then you have to drive maybe 100 or 130 kilometers a day in order to get to your working place, then and this especially with the announcement 1 year before we merged those sites, you can imagine that the one or the other in this environment is probably looking for a new job. So we need to see how the overall situation looks like end of 19, when you really physically merge the two sites, legally they already merged, then we see who's there, how many we need, and then we take the next steps. But it's unfair to predict it right now.
Yeah, sure. Okay, wonderful. Thanks a lot for the answers.
Sure.
The next question received is from Felix Lutz, SMR Research. Your line is now open, sir.
Hello, thanks for taking my question. I have two small questions. One is, in the newspapers, you read a lot about new investments by the Deutsche Bahn. Is it a topic you already have on your screen for 2019? And do you see in 2018 some effects from the InnoTransfer or some positive effects impacting 2018 order intake from this InnoTrans? Thank you.
So, Volker, again, as you know, I'm very familiar with Deutsche Bahn, and I have a lot of experience in the last years about the investment announcement of Deutsche Bahn. Actually, there will be some investments in the future, but this will take time. It will not come from tomorrow, since they have started now the planning. The requirements and things like this has to be done first by Deutsche Bahn so that you are able to get orders and to do the execution. So I expect that at least it will take another 2 years for our business, which is not with stones and things like this, which is easy handling. It's really planning business behind for the signaling part. It will take another 2 years before all these investments will come into the market. This will also impact by Siemens, Thales, Scheidt+Bachmann, and Pinch. Yeah. But in 2 years, we will see the first projects which we can participate in these tenders.
Thank you.
InnoTrans war noch die Frage.
Your second question was, do we see a positive trend from the InnoTrans?
Yes.
The question is absolutely yes, because this InnoTrans is really, apart from a lot of other fairs which I know from the past, this is a really operational, I would say, fair. And we signed a lot of contracts also in the InnoTrans. Now you can always say, did you, I would say, sign the contracts also without InnoTrans? This you cannot, I would say, split completely. But InnoTrans has absolutely, and especially the last one, I don't know if you was on our fair, it was many crowded, it was unbelievable. It was an absolute positive effect.
Yes, I was there and I expected this. Thanks.
The next question received is from Lukas Spang from Unolist. Your line is now open, sir.
Yes, hi, gentlemen. My first question is, again, on the margin you are targeting for the next years. Did I got it right that you are targeting for 2021 the 9%, or was it just an assumption from the DZ colleague? I would ask the question one by one. So,
you are talking about our guidance of the 7 to 9%? What is the question? Sorry,
no,
the
question is, you mentioned that you want to come back to historical margins in the next 2 years, and for 2021, that the DZ colleague mentioned the 9%. So is it...
Yeah.
Also, the target from you, or only his assumption, the 9%?
Now, Mr. Spang, well, we respect your question and your curiosity. Honestly, of course, we have a budget, internal budget, but please accept that we only give a guidance for next year. I think this is fair enough to achieve that, what we promise now. Of course, What the colleague took was a kind of a ruler and just put it on there, coming from 3% now to 5 to 6 now, and then sooner or later you land at 9%. Be it in 2020 or 2021 or 2022, actually we don't know 100%. We are happy to have a guidance of 5 to 6% for next year, and hopefully you support us in the opinion that you say this is another big step on the way back to historic margins. But when exactly we might be on a level of 9%, and if this is a right target, I can't tell.
Okay, but to assume the 9% as a historical margin level is right.
This is what we achieved in the past. This is right.
Okay. And what do you think you need on the revenue side to achieve this target? Because in the past you just needed less than 400 million.
The revenue which we, I would say, announced for our guidance now next year, so this is the 480 to 500. How we continue, I don't know. We will see how we can, I would say, participate in all these markets which we introduced to you. But I will not give you a figure today. It would be not serious.
On the other hand, if you just take out Alte with the sales and the profit contribution, so if you just take out Alte, our margin would increase quite a bit by that. But of course, we want to be as profitable as possible in each and every segment, and this is what we're aiming for, no matter how high the sales is.
Okay. And on your EBIT guidance for this year, you say before extraordinary items. So what can we expect on this side? Can you give us a feeling on this?
The only thing we know for sure so far is the restructuring costs that are ongoing, at least in the first quarter, for sure also in the second quarter. But extraordinary valuation effects, so far we don't see any in the year end that we did with our auditors. We made sure that everything was properly valued and that we did everything. The only thing that, that could come to our mind so far is the moving cost from Pinch, when but this is roughly a couple hundred thousand. This is not this is not a major impact between reports and extraordinary, for sure not. So the gap should be far smaller than this year or last year.
Okay, and the restructuring costs are still are already in the EBIT guidance, or do we have to take this also into account?
The restructuring costs are part of the of the adjustments between reported and pro forma. So the restructuring costs that we have for CROs, at least for the time being, or for our consultancy who is supporting us with the restructuring opinion, those costs need to be excluded from the guidance. So if you take the 5 to 6% and you want to go to the reported, you have to deduct the restructuring costs.
And do you already have a number or calculation for this?
Well, it should be less than last year. That what you just saw was roughly 5 million that we had in this year. Of course, this number should be further down for sure. We hope that this project and the use of CROs is at least not as costly as it was in the past, and therefore we expect a lower figure there.
Okay, and then it should be finished in 2019 or still some costs in 2020.
This is the clear goal, as we previously described, and Albrecht answered that at least 80% of the overall restructuring is done.
Okay. Good. Thanks.
Sure.
As far as there are no further questions, I hand back to Mr. Güsken.
Yeah. Thank you very much. With this, we are really glad that we had a comprehensive overview of your questions as well. And we are looking forward to the continued dialogue with you in the next couple of weeks. And, for example, we will be on the road in Luxembourg, Hamburg, and Stockholm until mid-May. So we hope to see you there or have you in Munich or talk to you on the phone. Bye-bye and have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.